Wait, so...
What?
So
what
do you, mean? You go from 1 to 5, or...
Are we going on 3, or are we going on 5?
Are we going on go, or are we going on 1?
Is it 3, 2, 1, go, or is it 3, 2, go on 1?
Keep all this in. Hi, everybody. Power Chords Podcast, Episode 5. I'm Brent.
I'm Kyle.
And with me is Kyle and Nick.
I'm Kyle.
Hi.
And Jeremy, special guest Jeremy.
Hi.
Returning from his long absence, Evan Reedy.
Hello.
And once again, we have Connor joining us.
Howdy.
Okay, guys, so we probably all sound a lot different than we did the last couple times. We are in different locations. It was inevitable.
I had throat disease, so I sound different.
It's difficult.
All right, well, let's get this started. Let's start off. Guys, some big news happened this week. First of all, Resident Evil 6 was shown.
And rated worst game ever.
No, actually, it looks pretty rad.
I think it looks amazing.
I
agree.
They're totally going back to the old horror feel of it. They brought back zombies. Yes. I don't know.
Weren't zombies in all of them?
No, not Resident
Evil. Mutation, man.
Since the last game with zombies in it was Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil 4, 5, and...
Oh, yeah.
It's had, like, mutated... people. Anyway,
mutated, infected people.
Yeah,
black people.
Well, I just want to mention real quick that there's going to be 3 major storylines in that game, and they're all going to converge, so it's going to have, like, 3 big plots in Resident Evil 6 that you can play through.
Damn.
And, Nick, there should be a lot more black people in this one because it's Raccoon City.
There you go.
All three
not as much as in 5, but,
Hey, are all 3 of those going to be on DLC, or is it all just on the game?
All 3 are on the game. Don't worry about it.
I hope no company ever pulls a StarCraft ever again, because I'm pissed that they didn't release all 3 campaigns in one game.
Yeah.
Even though it'd be a massive game, I'd rather not wait 4 years between, because Blizzard's
stupid.
Well,
yeah, and wouldn't you rather just, like, pay the money up front for, like, all the story rather than, like...
Exactly. $180 bucks for the same as you got for what, 30 or 20 back in the day was fucking, it's stupid.
Yeah, you tell them, Evan.
But, part of their plan was to, like, get each of the games out, like, within an hour or an hour. What am I saying? A year within each other or something like that. But you know Blizzard and that when it's ready thing. So there's no way they're
yeah. Dead. Seriously. Well, they're kind of rushing Diablo as well. I mean. So, okay. Yeah, you never know.
But the things they're dropping isn't that big of a deal. We'll get to that in a little bit. All right, a new Hitman game was announced today. Hooray. Not a whole lot was revealed.
Not a huge Hitman fan, man.
I'm not a huge Hitman fan myself. On top of that, Guild Wars 2 just went up for pre-purchase today. Is anyone got that yet?
Heard of that. No, but I might be pre-ordering Guild Wars 2 and Secret World in a couple days.
Oh, yeah?
Nice.
Yeah. Get in that beta.
Yeah, and Jeremy said that he wanted to play Terra.
Terra, right. Yes, I've heard a lot about that. Jeremy, talk a little bit about Terra.
Well, basically, it's an MMO like everything else, but they changed the combat system. So it's not like you have to do a massive amount of key bindings. So it's real time. Damn. You have to aim your character at the thing to hit all the time. And they implemented dodging. And your space bar, you can do skill combos. So you can do like a dodge. If you do like 3, you can hit space bar and it cuts down the time on it. And it will do a stronger attack. It's pretty cool how they implement it. The graphics look amazing.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen much about that. Is it have a paid subscription or is it free to play like Guild Wars?
It's going to have a paid subscription. They just got 3 betas out. But there might be a couple more coming out soon. But I'm not sure about that.
Awesome. Crysis 3 leaked. Well, not really. It showed up on Origin. I don't know if anyone's Crysis fans. I am. I like Crysis and Far Cry. Those are two great series. It shows the dude in the nano suit with a compound bow.
Wait. It shows the Big Lebowski with a crossbow?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. That's going to be a killer game.
Yeah.
You mean the dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, the dude.
Yeah. Well, I guess that kind of really does it for any big news. Did you guys have anything else you want to talk about as far as that goes? Or
There's that Halo, the new Halo leak. I don't know how new that is. I just saw something of it. I'm subscribed to this guy, and he made a quick video saying, like, a few of the news updates. I can't remember any off the top of my head, but I do remember that they said that Halo's going more towards, like, the Call of Duty aspect, like, for gameplay and stuff, but I don't know how true that is, so don't take my word for that.
Call of Duty as in, like, the multiplayer?
Multiplayer aspect. But one thing that I do remember him saying was that, you know, in Halo 3 and Halo whatever it was, for weapons, like, there's always one central location for where the sniper was or where the rockets were. They were always in the same spot over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that they're going to change that, so it's going to be more like in Firefight or Firefight, whatever that game was called, where the weapons will come in like drop pods and they're going to be random. So you're not going to like have fights over these power weapons anymore, which is one thing that I really enjoyed about Halo.
Okay, so as I was saying, are we back? Are we back?
This is going to be one hell of an edited show. Oh my God.
What I was saying was they want to be different than the previous Halo games because it's a different company, but they feel the only way they can do that comfortably is by doing things like Call of Duty.
Well, yeah but I mean, Call of Duty is such a successful formula as it is that there is no more unique ideas anymore. If you're gonna imitate something, imitate the best.
Well, that's arguable.
No, it's not arguable.
Call of Duty is the best thing ever. You shut up, Nick.
No, well, I'm saying that it's a successful formula. So if you want success, emulate successful formulas. Like, just kind of makes sense. Yeah, I'm looking over these Halo 4.
Yeah. Oh, and another big thing about Halo is that every time you died, it was like boop, 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 and then you'd respawn. There was the 3-second delay. There's going to be no more, like, delay when you die. You're just gonna hit X and you're gonna load back in.
That's ridiculous.
I liked the spawn delay in Halo.
Yeah, they should just release like new DLC for the Call of Duty game where you can play as Master Chief. After Halo 3, I just kind of didn't care very much.
I kind of didn't care after Halo 1, really.
Yeah, you hipster.
Me too.
Well, it wasn't because I didn't care. It's just it never grabbed me again. So
right.
Halo
1 and 2 never really got my attention, but for what, like, Halo 3 just did it right, I guess.
I see.
Yeah. See, I came in at Halo 1, and then I never really even heard about Halo 2. Like, I didn't hear about Halo 2 until like Halo 3 came out, to be honest. So I don't know if I was living under a rock or what during that time.
Yeah, I remember hearing a bunch about Halo 2 when it came out, because everyone's like, oh my god, Halo 2, you can do away with la 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 la.
I heard more, like, when Halo 2 went to PC, I feel like there was, like, this... I never really... Like, I knew Halo 2 existed, but there was not a lot of talk of it. But then when it moved to PC,
everyone was like,
oh my god. I don't
know where the hell you were. It was like, it was all over. Xbox was getting Halo 2... And Xbox Live was starting with Halo 2. It's a big deal. You could play Xbox Live, play your friends over the internet. It was a huge deal. I remember it was all over
the internet.
All over the internet. Is all over, you know, G4 when G4 was cool back then. It was. I remember Halo 2 being such a huge deal.
Well, some of us didn't have G4 back in that time, Brendan, so you're kind of an asshole for saying that.
But you did have the internet. I know that.
Fortunate.
Well,
no.
Well,
I was busy playing Diablo. I didn't really care about consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was busy playing, I don't know. Connor played a lot of Halo 2. I didn't play as much. Anyway, speaking of Diablo, Evan, you've been in the Diablo 3 beta. Has anyone else?
No, I have not experienced it.
I've experienced it on videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blizzard contacted me directly and just gave me a full copy of the game. It was pretty cool.
Why have you been keeping that?
Well, I didn't want to make you guys feel bad. And they told me that I couldn't release press articles about it, but I feel like we can talk on the podcast around it.
Evan, tell us about Diablo 3.
My experience with Diablo 3 has been almost identical to my experience with Diablo 2.
Sold!
However, updated graphics, which is to be expected. I would assume you'd expect that anyway. They've changed a few small things besides the big things that everybody already should know, like with the glyphs and the runes and the fewer skills and all that, narrowing everything down for every class. And some of the classes even have the same feel as the other classes, like the witch doctors has the same kind of feel as a necromancer, from what I can gather. And then like the Amazon and the demon hunter. But one of the things that made me a little bit happier is that I don't have to click on all the damn gold. When you run over gold, it picks it up for you automatically.
That's
pretty nice.
It's the small things, Blizzard. Thank you. If you guys have any questions, I might be able to answer them.
Given the beta is like such just a small portion of the entire game, but like I know going through Diablo 2, it just felt like, you know, you'd get rushed to Act 4 or 5 and then do Diablo or Bale runs or Ancient runs or whatever it was that you did. Do you think, like, just from what you played, is that kind of how it goes right now? Like, you just run through what you can, get as high level as you can until you get up to the good loot and whatnot, or?
Well, considering I've only gotten about an hour and a half to 2 hours with each class and only gotten to level 7 or 8, yes it and no. I mean, I only got to level 7 or 8, so I didn't
kind of a
see
hard
much
question.
How classes go.
Kind of a hard question to answer. I've watched a ton of gameplay, because the max level is like 12 or 13 or whatever in the beta, I think.
Yeah, it's 13.
Right.
Yeah, and you're only playing the first third of the first act, so on the normal difficulty, so you're not going to be able to get a judge for, like, anything. And even the first third of the first act, you're only getting to level 7 or 8, like Evan's getting. To get to the max level, you have to grind, I guess, is what I've heard. So that's kind of a hard question to judge, but they say that you're not going to be doing that, I guess. By making your way all the way through the first, by the first playthrough, you should be ready for Nightmare, or whatever the difficulties are called.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to be like level 30 after you're done with Normal or something like that? And then
yeah, so
60 by the end of Hell. Said,
yeah, exactly. They said that they're trying to avoid the whole rushing to end game and just grind gear.
Interesting.
I mean,
yeah.
People are always going to find ways to make the games easier for themselves. It happens in every single game. Like Call of Duty Modern Warfare, people were inviting themselves or their friends to private matches and boosting each other.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And I don't see Blizzard regulating Diablo 3 as much as it regulates WoW. So it'll probably happen in Diablo 3, but who knows?
The Kyle Shippers of the world still exist.
I can only assume that since Diablo 3 is going to be strictly online, that they're going to have better control over it, but I don't think they'll be able to completely eliminate it. It'll only be a matter of time before we find that bug rush or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had a couple questions, Evan. First, as far as the length of the first third of the first act. And just has it been announced how many acts there are? I haven't actually followed that.
I think there's four.
Four?
Yeah, I want to say four also.
What do you think is going to be the length of a full playthrough of the first of a difficulty or from act to act?
From act to act,
like based
length,
upon,
I mean, I only
like,
played what if it's supposed to be the first third, and I did most of the third, the whole third of an mm-hmm. act. That took me what 2.5 hours, two and a half hours.
Okay.
And I was just breezing through it just so I could see all the classes and their abilities and stuff for myself. So if you really want to stick around and read all the story and for the campaign and you want to see all that stuff happen and you don't want to skip the cinematics, then it'll take a good three and a half hours maybe.
Okay.
So times that by three and it's going to be like 12 hours maybe.
Okay.
For each act. If you're playing straight through.
So roughly the length of Diablo 2's act if you experienced it in full.
Right.
Another question I had was a lot of people have been, you know, lamenting the fact that this is being consoleized in quotes. Does it feel like that? Does it feel like this is just God of War with loot and point clicking?
No. I mean, like I said, it feels almost identical to Diablo 2 in the sense that it's the same exact style. Like it's still a god view. It's still like an extended third person, you know. And then you're still clicking to move, clicking to loot, clicking to. However, the buttons. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel like console at all. So I don't know what people are getting that from.
And I guess the other one was how does the monk play? I was really curious about hearing.
Monk is actually the only class I didn't get to play before today. So you could ask me probably tomorrow and I'd have an answer for you.
Okay. Just because out of all of them, I think that's the class I'm most curious about.
Interested in? Yeah. Same with me. I mean, I wanted to save that one for last just so I could spend the most time with it without feeling guilty.
The cherry on top of the ice cream.
Yeah. I wanted to check out the ones that everybody thought were going to be the best first, like the Witch Doctor and the Demon Hunter. But, I mean, a lot of games lately have been coming up with a whole hand-to-hand monk-style class, and it's been really interesting to see how each game is putting those into their games and what abilities and what they're having them do.
Well, I mean, I know how I play, so, I mean, I'm... Barbarian will probably just be my go-to choice. It has been since Diablo 2. So, but yeah, all right, cool. So, overall, you're feeling good about it?
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. I mean, one thing I regret about them doing is the whole auction house because I really hate that. I don't like making games easy for people, and that's why I hate WoW right now, especially. And so, giving people a way to buy other people's hard work. I mean, sure, the people who do the work and they're like Kyle. Kyle's going to breeze through the game, get to end game, run all the runs, and then be like, hey, you guys want to buy my shit? And people are going to be like, yeah!
Hey,
and so Kyle's going to enjoy it, but other people are going to be like, oh, yeah, all I do is sit here and make money, and I'm going to buy everybody's stuff. No, that's you didn't do any of the work for it, and now you're just kind of making it easy for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you, but... There's just going to be third-party sites. People are going to farm it anyway. Yeah. It's just now Blizzard is regulating it.
It's like...
Soon there's going to be a gold hoarders show for Diablo.
It's like the fur trade. First, it was all these guys just coming out, you know, Wild West, making their living. And then, you know, these companies started, and all of a sudden the fur trade was a legitimate business. Now Blizzard's just... regulating it, making a legit business, I guess. So
exactly, and that's that's where they're at on that. Say they realize that it's going to happen if they do it, or if they let someone else do it.
Right,
but and that's they want to get some profit from it.
Personally, I'm not super stoked on it, and I probably will never use it. But hey, it's there, whatever, you know.
Exactly, you're not gonna. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. And the right. chances that you will not know who has bought gear and who has not bought gear. So
you'll be able to tell, though, if they're really bad.
That's true. They have really good gear and they're terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to start off. I'm just going to drop like $100 on gear. I'm going to be running around with you guys like level two. Like, hey, guys, look at all my gear.
Good luck buying anything worth anything good for $100 off the bat.
You wait.
Well, I am curious, like, for a hardcore mode, you know, one life, do you like the idea of having real money bought for the possible chance of you not being able to keep that?
I don't know if they've decided if they're going to allow hardcore to real world buy gear. So, but I like if they understand the consequences of what they're doing and they drop $100 on a hardcore character and then that hardcore character dies, that's their fault. Yeah. They knew it was going to happen. So, I mean, Blizzard's not in any wrong for letting them do that.
Right.
So.
It's like spending spending $20 or $50 on gold in RuneScape, buying all this armor, all this rune and dragon armor, running out to the wilderness, and dying because you suck, and crying about losing it.
At the same time.
That was one time.
At the same time, though,
still getting shit for it.
I think a lot of people are intrinsically worried about this because if you look at games like Battlefield Heroes or that type of thing, where it's you pay to win essentially, you pay to get the best gear. People are worried about that, but because Blizzard decided, hey, PvP is not going to get you anything but just bragging rights. I think that completely diminishes any kind of, oh, hey, I'm just gonna go pay, you know, $20 on a piece of armor or however much it's gonna be, and smoke everybody because my armor rating is gonna be so high. I won't have to worry about, you know, taking damage from them. But since I think they made the right choice by going PvP, diminishing the PvP, because personally it's all about the loot. That's it.
Yeah.
As long as there's no Jamela in Diablo 3, like a Jamela's hero editor.
I used a hero editor for Diablo 2, but since it's online, they're going to be able to really restrict like editing and items. So.
Yeah, I used to use one for when I played on open. Battle.net, I would just, and I'd have like these crazy, like dual wielding crazy swords with ridiculous stat bonuses, and like
you just walk out and everything dies.
Yeah, huge buffs that
was always fun.
So, any other thoughts on Diablo 3, Evan?
I'm excited for it.
Me too.
I don't know how long it'll hold my attention, honestly. If it's just going to be the exact same thing, what the hell just happened to my computer? If I drop, I'm sorry. My computer just decided to go, Jim, he's dead. But I honestly, I'm excited for it. I don't know how long it's going to hold my attention, because if it's just like Diablo 2 and with campaign, I've been really lacking in playing MMOs lately, so I don't know if it'll be able to keep me for that long.
Well, I can say that if it's anything like Diablo 2, I will at least play it for like 5 years, give or take.
Same here.
I'll always come back to it. That's definitely going to happen. I'll always come back to it. Be like, oh, you remember that game, Diablo 3?
Well, that's the great thing about Diablo 3.
You remember how it came out 10 years ago? They're making a Diablo 4.
Actually, I'm pretty sure that they said that once they are finished with StarCraft, once Diablo 3 and any expansions have released, and once the last expansions for WoW have released, they're going to put to rest Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo and start new franchises.
Good. That's brave, actually.
I heard this little thing called Finishing the Fight. It was called Halo 3, and then they said that they were going to drop it, and then that never got dropped.
Well, to be fair... Bungie did drop it.
Different companies, yeah. Bungie dropped it just like Call of Duty will be dropped soon by one of the companies.
Not after, after Halo 3, there was Reach and there was ODST.
Those were but those.
Go look at the developers.
Those weren't. Yeah, those.
It was Bungie.
Anyway.
Yeah. So there.
We'll let you believe that, Nick. Moving on.
No, you don't have to believe it. It's fact.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking. That's like saying, "Oh, hey, so they didn't make they made this movie, right? And then they made this really weird side story that has nothing to do with the main game. That's not the point. Halo 3 was the end of the Halo story, and that's what they meant for it to be, for Bungie at least. So, yeah. Moving on. I've been playing this game called Legend of Grimrock. Anyone else? Is that a no?
Well,
anyway.
Well, actually, I just downloaded it.
He said that he saw a little bit about it.
Saw a little bit about it. Well, let me tell you what it is. So, if you guys have ever heard of or played any of those old school dungeon crawler RPGs where it was first person and you moved like through a dungeon kind of on a grid, you ran into enemies and not doing nothing but trying to get from point A to point B through a dungeon, solving puzzles and that sort of thing. That's what this is. The game starts out, it gives you a really short little cinematic, if you could call it that. It's really just a series of pictures with text over them, explaining that you're a group of four prisoners sent to a prison at the top of this mountain, and if you want to survive and get like be absolved of your crimes, whatever they may be, you have to escape the dungeon. You start the game, and you can pick to either create your characters or have your characters randomly created for you. Just because I wanted to jump in real quick, I had them created randomly, and so I have a human male fighter, a minotaur fighter, a mage, and a rogue. I'm not sure if that's how they always are, if that's the setup you always have, or if there's other races or anything, but it's simple, but it's also it's really deep in the way that the exploration works. Have you guys ever played Dungeons of Dreadmoor?
Nope.
It sounds familiar.
Well, it's like that except without the permadeath aspect to it. It's just a fun dungeon crawler. I think it's $15.
There's an old school mode.
There is
where you can turn off auto mapping and you have to use your own grid paper and pencils. That's really awesome.
It's even if you don't do that, you still have to. You can't just like pull up a map. You have to pause the game, pull up the menu, look at where you are, and then go back and think, okay, I have to move this many spaces, because I forgot to mention this, but you move on squares. It's not like free movement. So like, it feels fluid enough, but you can notice that you're taking one step at a time, you and your group, through this dungeon. You're picking up items. The combat's pretty simple. You right click on whichever party member's weapon you want to use. If your party members are in the front, they can use handheld weapons. If they're in the back, they use throwing weapons or bows, or you use spells. And the spells require you to like select which rune or sigil combination you want to use, and you find scrolls throughout the dungeon that have different combinations that teach you different spells and stuff. It's pretty cool, actually. Very, very, very old school, very kind of a pick-up-and-play kind of a thing. You can spend hours with it. You can spend minutes with it. I like those kind of games. So, you know, it's the type of thing of where if you're bored one day, and you want to just spend an hour playing a game like in between classes or during some downtime, put that on if you don't want to like go traipse around Skyrim for hours instead. You can do that. So yeah, it's a good game. I would recommend it. I haven't played enough of it to really give it a solid review. But I would just say if you like old school RPGs, play it.
To give some props to the developers of it. A while back, I saw there was a post on Reddit thanking the developers, and since it's like the old school type games, mm-hmm. a handicapped person posted on their forums that it was difficult to use the keyboard since he didn't have all mobility in his hands. He asked if they could put the arrow keys in so you could just use the mouse, and they responded instantly for him. They're like, yeah, we don't see why we could do that. And like the like a week later or something, they patched it. And so now if you go to the options, there's a key, like a, just a, it shows the mouse pad up in the corner, so you can just click on him to go forward. Oh, wow. And turn your guy.
That's yeah, really cool.
So they responded. They have a real good community, like dev.
That's so awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, actually, yeah. I was following their blog for a while, their development. It was really cool to see that, and they've promised that there will be plenty of expansions, adding new dungeons throughout the game. But I believe it's randomly generated. Everyone's dungeon's randomly generated, so you start a new game, new dungeon, new characters and stuff. And there's, you know, a bunch of stats. You have to feed your characters so they don't pass out from being fatigued and stuff like that.
I want to go off on a quick rail real quick. Jeremy talking about the menu where you can use the mouse because of the mobility mm-hmm. option. Have you guys seen the video of the gentleman that can play Ocarina of Time and he's completely blind?
Yes.
Yes.
With the awesome. With the surround sound, and he goes, oh yeah, I can hear like the water droplets on the side of me, so that means I have to take 5 steps forward.
Yeah, he's like counting the steps that you need to do and everything.
He's like better at that game blind than I am, and I can see it.
Yeah, and he does everything awesome. Through trial and error. Can you imagine how many times like he's
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Seriously.
Like it's very impressive, and I've seen other videos he does where he does that exact same thing, but I think I can't remember off the top of my head what other games he did, so I don't want to misspeak and say he played a game he actually didn't, but it's really cool.
What is next on the list?
Next on the list is Google Goggles. Yeah.
It's called Project Glass, but
I'm sorry, Project Glass. Who can tell
us about Kyle likes to call it Google Goggles.
I like to call it Google Goggles.
It's just Google fun to Goggles. Say.
Google Goggles. I know, right?
Just yeah. So many G's and O's.
Well, Google Goggles. G's and O's make the world go round. You wouldn't be surprised. Tell us about Google Goggles. Oh, God.
Hey!
Tell us about Google Goggles.
They're really neat. Nick and I were talking about them earlier today, but I'm hoping that they're going to connect kind of like to your iPhone or your Android or whatever, but it's pretty much going to be like glasses, and you're going to have like a little screen on one of your lenses, and you're going to be able to like bring up like weather or text messages, and it's going to be like voice activated, so you can say like if you want to text someone, you can say like, oh, hey, I'll be here at this time or whatever, or meet me at the bookstore, I think was their example. And it writes it for you, and then you just say send. You can also take pictures with it, I guess. It's really, really cool.
Do you have to say camera and then go ka-chish?
Actually, there's a forward-facing – okay, there's a whole bunch of – they have prototypes of the program itself. But as far as like how they're actually going to implement the things, they're not sure yet. But they were showing kind of a walkthrough of what they know they can accomplish and what they want to implement in the hardware itself. One mm-hmm. of which being you hold up your fingers like you were holding up a camera, and the rectangle will frame the picture for you. And
God,
when
this
you,
is going to make people look so dumb walking around with their hands.
I was telling Kyle, I want to be able to play it. I want to be able to play Fruit Ninja on it, and like just swipe my hands like in front of my face. I was like, oh God, so many watermelons.
It's kind of cool. I mean, actually, it's very cool. That's kind of like augmented reality stuff that we've been talking about.
It's one more step.
I mean, remember that Pokemon Words. Game we keep talking about? Think about it with glasses. Yep. It'd be so rad. Anyway. And then
the
you could talk
that
to
we've
your...
been able to talk about that for multiple podcasts in a row.
Yeah, that's a theme that spans over many podcasts.
Yeah, we need to
I was actually talking to Kyle at Taco Bell today. We were talking about these Google Goggles. I heard that, like, you can take phone calls and you can take pictures, and the prototype picture that they showed had a lens on one eye on kind of a weird looking glasses thing, and like a speaker that went in your ear. I went, oh my god, I'm saving up my money right now, buying one when it comes out, and modding it to look like a scouter from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh shit.
Aw. Yeah,
you will never get paid with that.
Oh, I hope not. any girl that talks to me with that thing on is,
I know, it's, I think it's, I just think they're really cool.
pretty awesome concept, in their own right, but
in concept, I don't know if I'm gonna want to walk around and be like, call Nick, text Kyle, send.
Yeah, some things that they were showing like actually made like, of course they have the out there things that are like, oh, we could like do this if we really wanted to, but the ones that seem to make sense. The ones that made sense to me were like obviously you can look outside and see the weather, which is kind of redundant, but it tells you like what the wind speed is and like what the temperature is outside, or if you needed turn by turn directions. If you put it into your phone and then you ran it like through to your glasses, then it will show you turn by turn on the actual road that you're on where to go. And if certain roads are closed, Google, it's able to track what, like, if you are going down to a subway, it can put up like a stop sign in front of your face and tell you that that subway line is closed off and that you should like, and like change routes for you and stuff.
That's pretty, if I get one,
I mean, it's really impressive stuff that they do.
If I get one, I'm going to download a custom, I'm not saying that they'll exist, I'm just, I would hope that I could download a custom GUI so that I could have it be Samus's visor overlay. That'd be pretty cool.
Oh god.
Yeah.
I'd walk around with my arm extended.
Like, I would want, like, since it's only in one eye, I would want it to be like the Terminator's eye thing where it shows like, yeah, like highlights people's faces.
Just like making targets in your eye. Oh, there's some potential there, my friends. There's,
god, the future's gonna be so cool.
And we're living in it, isn't that rad? God.
Yep. Well, and just to think, like we always talk about this, but like 20 years ago, when we were playing on like PlayStation, like when PlayStation 1 and like not even that, when like NES was out.
I was gonna say PlayStation 1 isn't that old.
Like, dude, it's gonna be so cool. There's gonna be two analog sticks, and it's gonna be in three dimensions. And now we're talking about like crossing over the digital world and the real world, which every time I say digital world, I think of Digimon. But just thinking like the next 20 years, the things that we're going to do, we always say flying cars, but I think that's becoming more and more prominent.
Well, you know what, dude? As long as the future has Toonami, I'm totally fine.
Seriously.
Another note, Brendan sent to all of us guys on the Power Chord podcast, it was called Toonami Aftermath, and it was a live streaming deal where they played Toonami shows and they programmed it the same way. I haven't been able to, like, I haven't watched an episode all the way through for intermissions, but do they have Toonami Tom do things on the
show? I don't know. I haven't watched it since
they're playing all the nostalgic stuff, I haven't had a chance to catch the very end of an episode, but if they took all the things that Toonami Tom did and scheduled the shows the same way, mm-hmm, then they would be able to like have him go, oh yeah, next up, Dragon Ball Z.
Like the white robot dude. Yeah. Didn't he like die or something? He was black. I just remember being horrified, dude. One day he went from a white robot.
He died several times. That was there. I don't know why.
Yeah. They always revamped them for like the next Toonami series or whatever. Like every time that they changed the little intermission animations.
Oh shit! Gundam Wing's on right now.
Oh
no.
Yeah, they play. Did you Gundam know that, and all that stuff. Actually, and then they had, I think we brought it up last week, but they had that April Fool's joke where they brought back Toonami Tom for that one night, that one glorious night that I unfortunately missed because I don't have cable. But I got to watch all the clips and
they show so. YouTube, yeah. For those of you that don't know, Jeremy told me about it. For April Fools, after an episode of Bleach, they put Toonami Tom on Adult Swim.
It wasn't just Bleach. It was an entire night of Toonami. They played.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was an entire night of Toonami. They played Bleach, Outlaw Star. They played Gundam Wing. They played Blue Sub Number 6. They played Astro Boy and Gigantor. They played everything.
Dude, how did like? Did they see just like the biggest spike in like Adult Swim views ever?
Did you read what happened? The Toonami. The word Toonami became the third most trending thing ever or something like that. They came out and they're like, okay, we get it. I mean, like all night it was like, and then like Tom reviewed Mass Effect 3 on there. So like they did game reviews like they used to do and just everything was like, you know, and then like they'd show, hey, you want to get the entire thing of Outlaw Star, well, get the DVDs or buy it on Blu-ray or all this other stuff. And it was really, really cool. And they had all the bumpers. They had all that stuff. And it was from the best era of Toonami before it got like kind of weird. And like Tom had a mouth and like weird eyes and stuff.
Now, do you think that like we want Toonami back that badly just because it's nostalgic for us? Or do you think it like the program just is that good?
I think it's a really
people.
Yeah, I mean,
want to just see the program.
No one ever, with the exception of Adult Swim showing like Cowboy Bebop, and I think they actually aired Cowboy Bebop that night. I can't remember, but Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo and some other anime shows. They showed Trigun and stuff. I'm sorry, it was just really rad that they did that. If they brought back Toonami, they would have kind of, and it would work perfectly for Adult Swim. They could show like these like late teen, early 20 demographic anime shows on like a Friday or Saturday night that we would stay up all night watching because we're just that nerdy. Even if we're not anime geeks, I know Jeremy enjoys anime, but you know, that's not something we'll like.
Not all of us, Jeremy.
do
you feel like if they changed up Toonami Tom, like if they brought back the same guy that does the voice, I always forget his name, but if they did that, but then they changed it so it wasn't the exact same as it was back in the 90s, but they still had Toonami Tom, do you think it's solely about the content? Do all of you guys think it's solely about the content?
Personally, I think it has to do with the way it's presented and what they aired. People obviously really responded to it that night, and I think it'd be beneficial for them. Anyone else?
Yeah. They'd petitioned also to have Toonami.
Yeah. Kyle?
If it comes back, I'll be
anyone?
What was that? No, I don't have much of an opinion on the whole Toonami subject.
Connor, how about you?
I just like watching Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I don't think that was Toonami. But, yeah,
that was wrong.
Evan?
No, that's actually, this is an interesting point right now, because the three people that, and I don't know about you, Evan, but the three people who have been talking are 21, whereas, like, you guys are just under 21. And is that kind of where the demographic ends? Like, there seems to be kind of a...
No. I watched Cowboy Bebop and Gundams and all the Toonami stuff. I just, I mean, if it came back, so I'd watch it again. Honestly, I haven't been able to watch TV in forever. So even if it did come back, yeah, I'd be excited and I'd want to watch Gundam, but I would get my interest would be lost so quickly just because TV doesn't hold my interest anymore.
Well, here's the thing that I would say I think there is something to the fact that Nick, Jeremy, and I maybe were on the Toonami thing either 2 years before or 2 years longer than you guys, maybe, or maybe a year or so, so that we have more of like a, oh yeah, there was that large span of time, and where maybe for Connor especially, because I think Connor's the youngest, Connor's like, oh yeah, I think I remember that.
Well, I definitely remember watching Gundam Wing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only, like, I remember watching shows like similar to that. It's just I don't remember if for sure they were Toonami or not.
Well, chances are, if it was like Dragon Ball Z and that stuff is on Toonami, and yeah, I think it's there's a large part that is definitely nostalgia. But I mean, can you imagine if they brought back all those old shows and stuff, or like Toonami, or I'm sorry, Adult Swim co-opted that and was
well,
like,
and the
you know
thing is,
yeah, we're gonna do this.
They're not just like. They're not just nostalgic shows. You know, like when we watch them, we don't go, oh man, those are totally garbage, but we remember when we watch them all the time. It's like a lot of those shows are actually really damn good shows.
Oh, yeah. Like,
so if they brought them back, people would watch them.
Cowboy Bebop is probably, in my opinion, the best anime that I've ever seen.
I just started rewatching it last night.
And I am super stoked on giant robot shows. So
I honestly, if I had my own place in a week, and it was like, man, should I buy cable or not? But in that week span time, they're like, oh yeah, we're totally bringing back Toonami. I would just buy cable so I could watch Toonami.
I mean, you could probably even get it if it's just on Cartoon Network, you know, on Adult Swim. You could just get the basic thing, and yeah, it's almost as good as HBO.
That's what they really need to do is they need to make like a Toonami channel.
I think it'll work better if it was like a Friday night Adult Swim.
I think because Toonami was always just kind of that Friday and Saturday night spiel, so they would have to find new content to put on. Okay, I revoke my previous statement. That was stupid.
I think at least what we got out of this is that people, at least a lot of people, 50% are. If we're to be the test group, 50% of people would really dig Toonami coming back, and the rest are either interested or don't really care.
Yeah, I don't think they
I would definitely be interested in it.
Yeah, see there. So, like, most people are definitely interested, but some of us are just really passionate about their Toonami.
you know, the weekends where I actually have a second to sit down and watch TV at night, and I'm flipping through channels and going, man, there's really nothing on. I always go through to Cartoon Network, and it's showing what's on the program. And even without really thinking about it, I go, man, it's no Toonami. Like, there's no Gundam on.
I mean, I stopped. I think if I was to ever have cable again, there would only be two or three channels I'd watch. And it would be Cartoon Network at night for Adult Swim would be probably number two or three behind, like, I don't know, Discovery or something like that. You know what I mean?
So. God, such a good that and History Channel. I love that.
I know.
And G4 for Cops.
G4 for Cops, and then you can watch
Kyle
Cops
and I have
Central
been watching
for
our fair share of Ninja Warrior and Cops.
So good.
Cops and Cheaters all the time.
Cheaters?
Yeah, do you remember a time where G4 actually had like video game content on it?
Oh god, I know. Electric Dude. Playground and
I remember, what is it called, like Arena or something like that?
Yeah.
I watched that show all the time.
That was good. They used to show like the old MLGs on there too.
Yeah, why don't they do that? Why,
they do the Street Fighter 4 yearly tournament. They do that there on G4, and I know they do like a big E3 coverage, but they don't do anything else that's major. They have X-Play, and that's it.
They go to all the major events, like CDE, AE,
Anime Expo.
Yeah, Anime Expo, Tokyo Game Show. But it's pretty much only like they have a special for it that's like 2 hours a day. But
there's just so much video game related content that they're not like jumping on. And it doesn't make sense to any gamer in the world.
Yeah,
until
but,
you see Sarah Underwood and you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
That was just kind of what happened when it was just a slow decline when Tech TV was acquired by G4, and then it just became G4, and G4 was shifted and morphed, where Tech TV probably would have always been just Tech TV. Anyway.
I remember first found Expo, yeah. That was fun.
the first X, the early X Plays, is that what you said?
When they first merged Tech TV and G4, whatever it was, and I first saw X Play,
Yeah.
I was like, this is pretty awesome because I didn't have any tech shows. This is years ago. And what were they reviewing? Robotech. They were reviewing a Robotech game for GameCube.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That I just bought. And I was like, hell yeah. I
remember that.
Oh, man. How could you not?
Dude, I remember when... amazing. I mean, there's a lot of games that they reviewed that I would have never known about, like Conker's, the redo of Conker, Stranger's Wrath for, I think, the original Xbox. I remember I saw the review and I wanted to play that game so bad, and it wasn't until like a year ago that I actually got to play it. Ever since I saw that review, I've wanted to play Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, but...
Yeah, the thing that, like, what's happened now to the show, and Evan, I'm sure you feel the same way when you watch it, is it's like the stupid GameStop television. Like, when you go into GameStop and it plays the same trailers, like it's like 15 minutes worth of trailers that they play over and over and over and over. They just do that. Like, I've caught G4 on at, like, noon, and it's been, hey, this is Sarah Underwood with the feed, the Google goggles, blah, 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 blah. And then it does the same thing at 4 o'clock, and in between then it's just Cops and Ninja Warrior, which is cool, but, like... They're like, you could fill that 4 hours with so, like, you could do like walkthroughs of games, you could do reviews of games, you could talk to developers. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but I feel that YouTube has come into play a lot more too, that game reviews, playthroughs are being more prevalent in the YouTube era, right. Like that whole thing.
Well, that's just, I think that's also just a telltale sign of where things are going. I mean, IGN started their own game network that's strictly run through YouTube. They have like 3 or 4 shows now that they have like a daily show type of show that they do. It's called Up at Noon. There's obvious potential for that type of stuff, but I think YouTube is definitely where we're gonna, like, if Toonami came back and they were like, hey, we're just an online station, but you can watch, you know, like streaming videos whenever you want. I'd be rad. I would totally be down for that. Like they do with this Toonami
thing.
Like that'd be awesome. Yeah. Tap into that whole thing. And actually, I think G4 did bring back, I forgot to say this. G4 did go back and start like a G4 at night type of thing where they show like old game trailers. They show that and they have like,
that's cool.
They kind of brought back some of their old video game programming, but I don't think it's not as big as it used to be. Anyway, so moving right along, you guys see you guys been playing or doing anything else? Any other?
No, I'm still stuck on Path of Exile.
Yeah? You're stuck on it, like, as in you can't more of it, or just...
No, I just can't drop it. It's a lot of fun. I guess that's just because of my love for the Diablo-style games, the gear grinders, the clicky, all of it. Just a ton of fun.
I'll really have to jump in and play this game.
Yeah, I got the chance to play it for, like, a little bit.
You can actually donate now. I think you can donate, like, the minimum amount is like $10, and you can actually get a beta key for donating.
Oh wow!
And they have different like levels of donation, but the highest donation is $1,000. It's like the diamond pack. And what's really cool about it is if you do that, you get the chance to talk with the developers, and you can help create a certain item like that has your say on it.
Is this like a Kickstarter thing, or because it sounds a lot like that?
Well, they're not going to be subscription or anything. It's going to be free. So they were kind of wanting some like startup money or donations, like whatever they could get.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of people wanted to donate, but they didn't really have a way to donate, so they came up and said that they will start allowing people to pre-order like microtransactions, and that's where these are, because with each thing you get like microtransaction points, I do believe. But I was telling Nick, if I had $1,000 to toss out, I would definitely do that and make an item that's just like a loot whore. Because in game you can like increase your magic find. That's not what it's called, but I'm gonna say that for now. You can increase your magic find, and so I would just make a weapon or a piece of armor that had like the max amount of armor or magic find you could have on any given piece of gear. Just because I'm a loot whore.
Yeah. Well,
it would have to be called like the Sheedler Slammer or something.
Just real quick, Connor, I think. Oh, he already left. He had to drop out, but thanks for joining us again, Connor.
Thanks, Connor.
Anyway,
thank you.
And one last thing I wanted to say about that is they started their donations like on April 4th, so like 6-7 days ago, and they've already raised up over like $200,000, which is quite ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive. I like it when developers do that, and I like hearing about like successes like with Kickstarter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. I think that's a very legitimate way to fund a game. It the only worry that I have with that kind of stuff, Path to Exile, not so much, but with the Kickstarter stuff is, so I put in my money, I get my game, and it sucks. You know, so
yeah.
I think it puts a lot of pressure on the developers to make a game, but for a lot less money than games are usually made with these days. So it's a little disconcerting, and it also pretty interesting to watch this stuff and see how it will develop. So only time will tell.
Yep. On the what I've been playing after Marshall's big thing about Flash games, I decided to go Flash game hunting, and I've been playing a game called Happy Wheels, and it's one of those like balancing like motorcycle bike games, the like side scrolling style ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a pretty extensive level editor on it where people can upload their own levels, and there's some crazy ones that people make up, but it's pretty fun. You can change between, you know, good dozen characters and stuff like that, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Nice, that sounds pretty cool.
So yeah, so if you got nothing to do, check out Happy Wheels. It's free. It's on some website. I don't know. Fucking Google it.
Awesome. Well, we'll
yep. Sure to
Google some fucking website.
Yeah, just go to Google and fucking slam your head on the keyboard.
And the first thing to pop up will be.
Yep.
Happy Wheels. So, Evan, Jeremy, you guys, any other games you've been playing?
I've been playing my normal League of Legends, Dota 2.
You're a MOBA fiend?
What's going on in League of Legends?
They just had a big, gigantic tournament, IPL4, IGN Pro League.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah, that was good. Just ended on, I think, Sunday. TSM ended up being the victor. Team Solo Mid taking home, what, $25,000?
Nice.
Wow.
Yep. For a free-to-play game, jeez. That's
so Riot? I think Riot has, like, they don't do some patches sometimes, but they have really good support for the community.
Yeah.
Like,
watch out for a Hawkins pro team, the Power Chords pro team.
Flash Katana.
Yeah. Will
yeah,
you be
Jeremy's
playing?
Name is Flashbang Katana.
Will he be playing Hawken with us?
Oh, yeah, okay. I already reserved it.
Excellent.
My call sign is Flashbang Katana.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's okay.
Best name ever.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really... We've already talked about it plenty, but I'm really looking forward to that game. And so, anyway. Evan, you been playing anything else?
Not really. Not lately. I've been kind of waiting to see when Guild Wars drops and Secret World drops, so now I gotta just decide if I'm gonna pick up those this weekend and hop in the betas for Secret World when they open up.
I haven't heard of Secret World.
Oh,
what is
Jeremy,
Secret
you
World?
You haven't heard of Secret
no,
World? We
I've
have
never...
an article on pwrchords.com you should check out.
Plugs!
Thank you, Nick.
Plug!
Yeah. Shameless plug on your own podcast.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't care.
There's this great website. It's called powercords.com.
Well, if 3,887 people are to be believed, or 227, whatever the hell it is, apparently
what number
website about Flash games.
3,000 people, like over 3,000 people.
3,227 people.
I want you guys to listen to this podcast in like a year when it got bigger, and you're going to be like, oh my god, 3,000 people.
That's going to be like, shit, whatever.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I think
that's
last
gonna be like our 3,000 per hour.
4,000 on average.
Last week we were kind of raving about the fact that I think we got like 800 people in a day.
No, we were like 400
six,
or something.
It
like
was
that.
600.
600 so, people.
Like, and then, I hear the stories anytime Nick hangs out with me.
Yeah.
the next 2 days, all of a sudden Marshall's like text or Kyle texts me in the morning. He's like, I think we got like 1.5k views, and then I get on 2k views, and then I get home 3k views. God damn it!
Yeah.
What did we do? But yeah, that's pretty cool. As for playing games, I've only been playing Legend of Grimrock. I played that for a little while.
Is that just free to download and stuff, Brendan?
No, it's $13 or $14.
$13.49 right now.
I'm gonna have to pull a Grand Theft Auto and run over a hooker tonight.
I might actually pick that up tonight.
It's maybe. It's a fun distraction game. It's definitely a cheap Steam indie game. You know, I'm not knocking it. I'm saying that that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minecraft was a cheapo. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I always see Jeremy playing those kind of games on Steam. So.
Oh, I dig it. Yeah. You see me play Nimbus? Oh, that just taken over my life.
What is Nimbus? I haven't heard of Nimbus.
Basically, you're a little airplane, and it messes with gravity. Oh, God. You know how bad I am at explaining things, Nick. Do you remember back
day,
like, when you're in elementary school, you had that airplane game? Like, you're a paper airplane, and you're trying to get to the
plane. Oh, yeah. You have to keep it up.
Yeah. It's basically like that. That's what it reminds me of. You're a spaceship, and you're constantly falling, so you have to deal with the gravity. You're trying to get to the checkpoint and finish it. And eventually they introduce more obstacles like gravity wells and spike strips. You get new ships and you can customize them a little bit. It's pretty cool. I put many hours into it.
Impressive. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think the last little batch, I mean, if anyone's seen any movies or have any TV shows you want to talk about.
Wrath of the Titans was pretty good. It was very entertaining.
Well, that's good to hear. It didn't look like it was gonna be anything too...
I mean, but I'm not a movie critic because I go to movies to enjoy them, not to be like, well, I saw the boom mic in the bottom left on this frame and
bullshit
this
movie
cinematic totally didn't. Yeah, exactly. I don't like to do that because they spend a lot of time and money that I don't have making a movie that I couldn't make so that I can go there and enjoy the shit out of it.
I think that's an impressive way to look about it. I'd like to hear from Marshall because I always felt like Marshall always had really good,
He does do well.
He's got really good insight with that stuff, and he doesn't distill it down to, oh, hey, so this movie really sucked. It's always like, you know what? I like that they tried to do this, and I
and he really, says, you know what, that exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
You know what?
Marshall's, I think Marshall's, if we're just going to stroke each other's dicks for a second here, I think Marshall's an excellent movie reviewer, so. I really like the way he does it. So, speaking of movies, I just saw Red State. It's the latest Kevin Smith movie. It's really interesting. It's like a horror movie meets the comedy of Kevin Smith with a little bit of Quentin Tarantino and Coen brothers thrown in there. It's good. It's about a religious fanatic family, kind of like the Westboro Baptist Church, but they go real nuts. And it stars Michael Parks and John Goodman is in it. And then a few other actors that I don't really know. You'd recognize a lot of them if you've seen, you know, like the Coen brothers films and stuff like that. So, anyway, it was good.
they released another trailer for the Avengers also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, typical, like, oh, hey, here's more Iron Man, here's more Captain America, and then Hulk just destroys everything. I'm honestly just paying money to go see the Hulk just break everything. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that trailer. I have to check it out.
Yeah, the Hulk, like, jumps, like, through one skyscraper and, like, tackles a guy on the other and, like pimp slaps another thing. That's pretty much what the Hulk's doing the whole movie, is just, like, running around, like, smacking bitches.
Well, that's all I'd want from the Hulk, so that's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Anyway.
You don't expect a love story or anything.
Yeah, real quick, speaking of Kevin Smith, everyone should go read the book Tough Shit. It's 50% Kevin Smith's memoirs, 50% him giving you advice on how to, like, make your dreams come true and shit like that. It's as sappy as that sounds, but done in the quintessential Kevin Smith way, with awesome writing and extremely graphic humor. So, anyway.
All right, Jeremy, you got to say it again.
I said I wanted to be 50% Kevin Smith and then the 50% Silent Bob, so the half the book's just blank pages.
That'd be fantastic. And unless anyone's watched Game of Thrones, I'll just say real quick, it was an awesome episode. So.
It was. They both have been awesome episodes.
Yes.
And I'm ready for this week.
I am too.
Have you read the books?
We are up to now where I stopped reading.
Yeah, same here.
So, I don't know what's going to happen next, which is kind of cool. So, anyway, does anyone have anything else to add?
No, not on this end.
No?
No.
All right, well, I think I might go ahead and call it a day. I think that it was a nice, it was a short podcast, but it was a good one.
No power hour?
We'll see. We'll see. We'll close this out and then we'll see how everyone's feeling. I have to make a phone call.
All right.
Anyway, follow us on Twitter, read our...
Thanks for watching, everyone.
And yes, thanks.
For listening.
Send your questions to askpowerchords@gmail.com. That does it for us.
Just go to your search bar and just hit power chords.
With your head.
Just search.
Nail it with your
head. Something will come up. 50% of the time it's Happy Wheels, 50% of the time it's Power Chords. So either way, it's just good.
60% of the time it gets you every time.
There you go. Goodbye. Good night.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, sharp like an edge of a samurai sword, the mental blade cut through flesh and bone, though my mind